Steve Dale's Other World. No, we're not going to San Juan. I wish we were, but Mark Burnell and Ann Pringle Burnell are in the studio with me. You heard Ann's voice right there. Hi, guys.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Well, yeah, this is way cool. You have a new CD out. And for those who don't know, let's explain who this husband and wife team really is. You play, between the both of you, I think, every club possibly in town ever in Chicago. And have had a long history here, but still play all over town. Correct?
I think that's correct.
I think that's correct, too.
Right across the street.
So tell me about the new CD.
The new CD actually came out a year ago, and so it's had its year's run, but it was produced by Henry Johnson, the guitarist, and he's the music director for Ramsey Lewis's trio. So
wow.
He's on tour with Ramsey. And he helped us produce that whole record. And it's a bunch of standards.
So here's my problem with you guys. I hope you don't take terrible offense to this. You're not blues, but
no.
You kind of are. You're not pop, but you do pop.
Yeah.
You're not jazz, and you certainly do jazz.
Yeah.
You're not barbershop or a cappella, but you do a cappella. That's
right,
in fact
right.
One thing you're known for.
Yeah.
So how do you describe or are you just upset when you watch the award show and they give an award for Country Music Performer of the Year? I mean, do you think that music is too divided up, too labeled by people?
Of course it is, but I think jazz is the closest word to describe what we actually do, because if we're even doing another style of music, jazz will influence it or infuse it. It'll become part of it. If we're doing a pop tune, we're going to give a jazz kind of a reading to that pop tune.
So is jazz the undercurrent for much of our music that we sometimes don't even give it credit for, we don't hear in our untrained ears?
Well, jazz was the whole American songbook. I mean, when all the musicals were written, artists would cover them and do their own jazz version with a big band or a swing or to make it popular. So it was our popular music in America. And so now we just take jazz and treat it maybe just a little bit funkier, like, or bluesier, or we take the pop music and we make it a little jazzier. So we're kind of always crossing genres.
Exactly. So jazz isn't pure anymore. It gets mixed with fusion or gospel or blues or pop or anything.
Did you guys see La La Land?
Not yet.
Not yet.
you need to see that.
It's on our bucket list.
Well, it shouldn't be a tough thing to do on that bucket list. But
that was a joke.
But the essence in part is that jazz is in your soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's always there.
Yeah.
You think that's true?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a way of life. I mean, it's an improvisational.
So if someone asked you to sing the national anthem, in part it would come out jazz?
Yeah, well, we have a jazz arrangement of it.
Do you really?
Yeah, we've done it.
For the Cubs and the Sox and the
Arlington National Racetrack, International Racetrack.
Last summer, that was
fun. The Special
fun.
Olympics we did it for,
What's the gig that you've done, because you guys have played all over, and you've done so much, and we'll talk about some of what's coming up in a moment. What's the gig you've done that you most remember?
I have an answer for that. It's a very weird one. We were...
He's looking at you like, what is she going to say?
Well, we got married, and then we went to Paris for our honeymoon. We were also booked. Oh, it was? Okay. We were also booked in Paris at, a nightclub.
So you wrote off your honeymoon is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the nightclub, was like 12 to 5 in the morning. So the gig was 12 to 5 in the morning, and each band would play like a different set. So I think we went on at 3 in the morning. And then had dinner afterwards, and then the whole band was international. That's not the gig that I remember the most.
Well, we didn't meet the Sidemen, and they were all from a different country.
Yeah, Brazil, Germany, everybody was international. But there was another gig in a corner bar that they booked us at, and there was no sound system, and an upright piano, and it was like Friday night. And
we walked in and we were worried. There's no
microphone.
They were
three deep at the bar, and they were all millennials, which we didn't know then. But they were all really young people, and the place was really loud. And they said, "Oh, just go do the gig with no sound system. You won't need a microphone." And I was like, "Are you kidding?"
Wow, that's tough.
Yeah. So Mark climbs over to the piano through the crowd, and he starts playing, and I just sat, stood next to him and, you know, closed my eyes, and I just, like, started singing. And the whole crowd kind of just wrapped around us.
Wow.
And became very quiet.
Silent.
Yeah.
That is so
cool. On the break, one of the young gentlemen
blew our minds.
Went out and bought roses for us. I mean,
oh.
It was really...
And you were on your honeymoon on top of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Romantic story.
A two-week jazz honeymoon in Paris. That was pretty cool.
And they listen. They just, it was pretty cool.
So at times, you've got the toughest job in showbiz. To walk into a room where people are eating or people are drinking.
Oh, heavily, yeah.
Or back smoking in the day, people, right, exactly. People are smoking.
Yeah.
How do you get their attention?
Well, you do or you don't, but you always do your best, and you sing your song and you play your tunes, and if you reach them or reach some of them, you know, that's the way.
One performer, one very famous performer once told me that's when she would sing soft.
Yeah.
And she would sing I don't remember exactly how she put it, but sing soft and sing, really just sing. Just plain sing, but soft and sweet, not do anything to blow them away, but just sing soft.
Over, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Seduce,
well, dynamics is definitely part of it. Elevator music is called that because it has no dynamics. It just has, it can be talked over because it's just the same volume. But if you sing soft or loud or mix it up and put space in it, you'll get more people's attention.
Yeah.
Who was the person who said that?
Dionne Warwick, actually.
Okay.
Awesome.
Because it's interesting. I know Judy Roberts does that. She definitely quiets down and gets them to, you know, try to listen.
Yeah.
I've seen that before. But Dionne Warwick, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Smart
she
girl.
She said if you want attention, so she'll not come out always, or back in the day, just blowing you away with one of those hit songs.
Right.
Necessarily, depending on the crowd, she would just, when she started, I'm talking about,
right.
She would come out just singing just very softly. And she said, well, that's how you get those people to listen to you, or something to that effect. How did you both meet? Because you were performers individually for a long time
we
in Chicago.
We had two separate bands, and we were like, we're never working together.
Really?
That lasted about 5 minutes.
It was band wars for 5 minutes.
I guess this was, 24, 25, almost a quarter century ago.
How long have you been married?
22, right? So, yeah, we're not sure.
Over
so Anne had a steady job out on the Spirit of Chicago. She was a band leader and for the whole summer.
Hmm.
And I knew who she was because I moved here in 89 from Pittsburgh. And of course, her name was, you know, all over the place because she was playing all these clubs. And
it's true.
So I got
you
sent
were
this.
Everywhere.
I knew you then.
You, yes, indeed. Back in the day, yeah.
So my good musical friends, Dean Rolando, sent me on a sub to play on the Spirit of Chicago on a different floor with a different band, but it was just a one-night thing. I was taking the place of another keyboard player. And
you don't mean a submarine sub?
No.
You weren't under the Spirit of Chicago.
He was the sub for the sub.
Right, okay.
Right, which happens all the time in jazz. So he did mention, check out Pringle on a break. She's singing in the other band. And so, of course, I did that on a break, and I walked down the stairs, and I heard this amazing singer. I'll sing Sunday Kind of Love. That was the tune. And
you remember.
And I said, oh, yeah, I remember the tune. And I said, I've got to ask her out. So Navy Pier was pretty close to.
So what attracted you? Was it her voice even before you saw her?
Oh, yeah. Well, probably simultaneously. It was a sight and a sound. You know, it was pretty much.
Boom. Well, she said, this is interesting to me. So she's clearly a beautiful lady. But I wonder, since you're both singers, if you can be. Yeah, listen to a recording and say, boy, she's hot, just because of her voice.
Oh, yeah.
And the same in reverse, or not so much?
Yeah, I mean, I saw him trying to fiddle with a keyboard, and I thought he was really cute. And I told the other singer in the band that he was, who's your new piano player? He's really cute. And I thought she told him, so because he asked me out afterwards. And I was like, did you tell him?
Well, we were... close to the Drake, which is where Buddy Charles plays, and who's a music mentor for
he
both of us.
There, yeah, many years.
And I thought, well, obviously, if I want to ask her out, let's go over to the Drake and listen to Buddy. So I asked her to do that, and we get there, and we're sitting at the bar listening to Buddy on those tall bar stools, and not even 20 minutes went by, and her purse was stolen. She had put it in the well there in the seats. And Buddy said to me,
"By my feet, yeah.
How could you let that happen?" And I said, "Buddy, I wasn't looking at her purse." So
that's
here I am,
story.
Trying to save this. I want to save this relationship. So I'm thinking, it was summer. I thought, well, okay, I gave her money for a cab. And I said, I got to go for it. I said, well, how about, I'm thinking, what's the safest gig? What could not go wrong? I said, next week, would you like to go on a bike ride? And she said, sure. So in the time between our first gig and our second gig, my bike was stolen off the street.
You guys need locks on things.
Yeah, we had a black girl following us. We were
so
just not
I showed
interested
up on our second date with the only bike I had left, which was a unicycle. So that was our second date.
Yeah, he said, we can still go on a bike ride.
All that. You actually went for a bike ride together on a unicycle.
Well, he went on the unicycle. I went on a normal bike.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm thinking, how would that? It would force romance if you were both on a unicycle, for sure.
So, strange romance.
So when you're working together and married,
yeah.
Good thing, not a good thing?
Both.
Explain.
Mostly good.
She's looking at you like, okay, what's the other side here? Tell me.
I think that people think that we have this luxurious, you know, we can just get out of bed and go down to the grand piano and have our coffee and start practicing. And, oh, would you play this? And that we're just kind of living in that.
A dream world, yeah.
We really, you know, we have to schedule rehearsals. We're very busy people. And
sure.
We don't want to play after 10 o'clock at night so the neighbors, you know, hate us. So we just, you know, set aside.
How did the a cappella thing come about?
Oh,
that's a good story. You want to tell it?
Okay. Well, we were in the car on the way to the gig, and I said, oh, we forgot to run this tune, you know, and I think we need to practice it really quick. So he just started singing instead of, I said, what's the key? Is kind of relative perfect pitch. And I said, can you sing a little bit so I can practice the song? Mm-hmm. And instead of kind of...
What's relative perfect pitch?
Well it's not... I guess
if you ask me to sing an A, I can do that. But our car wasn't equipped with a piano.
Sing an A.
So anyway,
really?
Our car didn't have a piano, so
How about C? and does that... I wouldn't know. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's how do you do
enough.
That?
It's pretty darn close.
I don't know. You know I could when I was a kid. I have no idea. So we used that as a... I just... In the car, I just
started
singing
bass
lines.
Boom, 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 boom.
To practice the song, just so we could get it right for the gig. So.
Uh-huh.
And then I started singing the melody. And then we were like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. And we tried it on a gig.
And people loved it.
So yeah.
That's how it started. Yeah. Because we were forced to practice a song in the car.
So for me, singing a cappella seems as though, not being a singer, a really tough thing to do.
Yes.
I mean, it's one of those automatic applause things. So it is.
Yeah. It's like... you know, you're definitely playing without a net. There's, you know, if something goes awry, it will go very far awry. It will take a left turn.
Of course, that never happens, right?
Oh, yeah, it has happened.
At least not when you do studio recordings.
Yes.
And we hear the good stuff, which we'll hear now.
Dum 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 d I never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going so right. Noticing the day hurrying by. When you're in love, my how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on. Talking about nothing but blue skies. Hey, nothing but blue skies. Oh, nothing but blue skies from now on.
Yeah, woo! Very, very nice, guys. Mark Burnell and Pringle Burnell. And I say that, but do people still know you as Ann Pringle?
Yes, they do, because my Facebook has all three names. There was already an Ann Burnell on there, so I just left the maiden name on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Ann Burnell's her music name, and then Ann Pringle Burnell is her fitness name.
Her fitness name. So on the song we just heard, because I don't want this to just slide by, Johnny Frigo. That's got to be sort of sweet for you to hear, and sad and happy and all those things. Explain who Johnny Frigo was.
Johnny Frigo is a great jazz violinist. He actually started out playing the bass and then switched to violin mid-career. And he was also a poet.
I didn't know that.
And a painter.
Hmm. He was just an artist.
Did he paint your bathroom, or not that kind of painter?
Drawings. And he was just a creative. And we did a lot of gigs with him. We were lucky enough to record with him a few times.
Now, Johnny Frigo, when I covered kind of showbiz in Chicago, I knew you guys, but this was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You were young 30 years ago, very young.
Yeah.
Johnny Frigo was very old then.
Sure, but he was kind of ageless in a way for about 20 years. Every Monday at Toulouse, he and the great pianist Joe Vita would hold court, and players, musicians, singers
Joe
would
played,
come.
He played at our wedding, actually.
Oh, my God.
Delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Johnny must have been then, in that era that you speak of, about 103. So when he passed away, I mean, really, I don't remember. He's one of those people that I don't remember him being young.
No, right.
So he must have been well into his 90s but he passed away playing the violin.
Yeah, he did.
True. So countless times we'd go to Toulouse and sit in with them on Monday. So that's how we got to know the both of them.
Yeah. But they were they were jazz people, but they also put a lot of comedy, a lot of kind of show business stuff in it. And I guess that's kind of how we grew up, kind of watching that. But,
and you can use the word cabaret there because before that term was really common in what they were doing, that's really what they were doing. It was like a show every night.
But
they were telling
shows,
jokes.
Yeah.
They were playing great songs. They had guest artists. It was like a show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just
and
an
the
open
television
mic.
Shows at that time. I mean, every jazz artist did those television shows, and they, sang, and then they would do a little sketch with whoever it was,
Like a variety show.
Yeah, a variety show.
Yeah, but those days are kind of gone, and those days of live music in Chicago, you and a handful of people are what's left of it. So you're doing a show to commemorate, to salute, to honor Julie London.
Yeah, that's our new show.
Yeah. That is coming up February 24th. It'll be at the Skokie Theater, which happens to be, I suspect, a really good venue, good platform
it's a nice
for
place.
You guys. Yeah. But I have to stop and ask you, who's Julie London for people who don't know?
Really?
Yeah.
You don't remember her? Okay.
Well, I think her
big hit was Cry Me a River.
Mm-hmm.
She was a profoundly busy singer. She recorded over 30 albums. I couldn't believe it when we started doing the research. But people know her from the 70s or from our era because she was on television. She was on Emergency. She played Dixie, the nurse Dixie. And she did movies and stuff like that. But she was married to a jazz pianist.
Bobby Troup,
who wrote, Route 66, Meaning of the Blues. And
she was also profoundly beautiful. So she was a pinup girl.
Yeah.
She was a model. But she was a great, great singer. And
now, when you do a show to celebrate someone like that, do you have to sound like that person? Are you acting? Are you playing Julie London, or are you just playing her music?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. So do you remember when Ron Hocking did a tribute to Frank Sinatra for years and years?
Yes.
And, okay, so Ron put
a local performer who kind of impersonated Sinatra, but he did it his way.
He did it his own voice, singing Frank's arrangements or, you know, mm-hmm. similar arrangements.
But he sounded a bit like Sinatra when
he has that timbre.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is we're going to, I'm not going to imitate Julie Lennon because I have my own style, but we are trying to get the keys in the similar keys that she's okay. singing.
Well, so in rehearsing the show, it's changed Anne's singing a little bit because Julie was a soft-spoken and a smoker and had a sort of a breathy voice. Anne is singing in lower keys and softer, and I think it's really sexy.
It's very nice.
So where do you rehearse? Where do you do this?
In our house.
In your house? You mentioned that earlier.
I have a grand piano. I teach during the day out right from home, and
the studio is there in the house.
What would be a dining room is a
recording
studio. And
the bathroom
is
the vocal booth.
Well, bathroom, so people say, you tell me, the best place to rehearse is in the shower?
You sound a little bit echoey, so yeah, people like it.
Is that where you rehearse together?
No, we rehearse in the...
I'm not getting personal
or
anything.
The dining room is...
You know, it's a podcast. We could say the truth.
Oh,
yeah, the
can?
Truth is that the dining room, we don't have a dining room. The truth is that it's a piano and it's a recording studio and...
Rehearsal
it's a teaching,
space
yeah.
and a teaching space,
space
for me.
Yeah.
So when you eat on the dining room table, you're putting plates
the
on
kitchen.
The piano?
No, we eat in the kitchen.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to do that on the piano.
Do you live in a house?
No,
townhouse.
Townhouse. So your neighbors...
can hear us, of course. So we try to stop around 10 or 10:30.
No, you should charge a cover.
Yeah. That's a great idea, Steve.
I think.
Do you want 10% if we do?
I think that would merit it. So this Julie London show is February 24th.
Yes.
At the Skokie Theater.
Yes, and we'll probably do it in another couple of places. We've just fallen in love with her.
So. And we're going to have Henry Johnson on guitar, which we're so excited about. Because Julie did a lot of recording. Her recordings featured guitar even more than piano, despite the fact she was married to a jazz pianist. So, you know, we'll have a bass player in and a percussion too. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
There are gigs. Do you play the same song all the time? Or do you – there's this one song that you just – I say, I've got to play that almost every time I perform. Or do you like to change it up totally?
Change it up. But there's countless songs that we just
– yeah, I'd say we do different shows, different songs.
How do you remember
songs
them
songs come
all?
And go. But the a cappella songs, there's only about 20 of those. So the
even 20 early. Songs. So especially a cappella, we just heard you do Blue Skies. I mean, if you forget the lyrics, you can't ad lib Gray Skies. It doesn't work. I mean, how do you remember all those lyrics, Anne?
Well, it's the same way an actor would remember all their lines. You
but know, the actors remembering lines from their current show,
right.
They generally aren't asked to remember lines from shows they've previously done.
That's true.
You have to know all these songs.
We do brush up rehearsals.
And there's no one, it's not like the Dean Martin show that Julie London was on, where you had cue cards, you know. I don't know if they did back
cards.
Then.
Oh, yes, they did.
But and they do now, even for singers.
Well, mm-hmm. Steve, I have a theory that people remember things. We have the same amount of memory. I just use them for songs and song lyrics. And, you know, I may not remember people's names when I see their faces.
Actually, the speaking and the singing are on different sides of your brain. So, you know, they've done lots of studies with Alzheimer's patients.
Right.
You know, so that you play the music from, you know, 50 years ago and they know all the words.
Have you ever done that where you've been in a situation? I've heard that too.
Yeah.
Where you've been in a situation, maybe you've gone to a senior center to visit someone or whatever
yes.
the case.
We've done, Mark did a series of shows there with
did
another
you?
Singer.
That's nice.
And he said they would just kind of come alive, you know.
Absolutely.
But that they'd remember the lyrics. So people that wouldn't remember their own name are remembering lyrics. Right, right.
Both of our mothers, too, in a similar situation.
Yeah.
Really? But they remember the songs.
Oh, they remember the
songs. Absolutely.
Yes.
My mom still, you know, gets up and sings.
What's the most? She did.
I know.
So I was at a performance. So is this, do you think, in part for you anyway, it's genetic?
Well, I was adopted, so.
Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe. But she did sing to me.
It's genetic for me.
Yeah.
Because my grandfather.
But you're the dude with perfect pitch, so it's got to be.
Yeah.
But it skipped a generation. My grandfather came across on a boat, and he played fiddle and accordion, and he sang,
he
played harmonica.
Gypsy.
Oh, yeah. So I, you know, just have great memories of
Pops.
Listening to him, listening to Pop sing. So, and a lot of cousins and uncles and aunts were musical too. So I definitely think that it had something to do with.
And your Hallidays were like the family band, the family Bernal band.
Really? Where are you from?
Pittsburgh, about an hour north in the country.
So you're not even from Chicago?
I'm not, but I moved here in 89. So do you think I've been here long enough, Steve, to call myself a Chicagoan?
Can you sing blues?
Yeah. I can sing the blues.
Can you perform the blues?
Sure.
Let's hear it.
My mama done told me when I was in pigtails. My mama done told me, hun, a man's gonna sweet talk and give you the big eye. But when that sweet talking's done, a man is a two-face, a worrisome thing who'll leave you to sing the blues in the night. Now the rains are falling, hear that train a-calling, ooh-wee. My mama done told me, so blow and cross the trestle. My mama done told me, a-hooey, a-hooey. Clickety-clack, echoing back the blues in the night. The evening breeze will start the tree to cry, and the moon will hide its light. When you get the blues in the night, take my word, the mockingbird to Mobile, from Memphis to St. Joe, wherever the four winds blow. I've been in some big towns, heard me some big talk. Something who'll leave you to sing the blues.
I'm exhausted just hearing that. I mean, that's a lot of work. But it's the precision of the band and the energy. And today, you know, so many recordings are done. I mean, the hit songs today. They're done. They're a track is laid down, and then another track is laid down, and it's all that
electronic,
way.
Yeah. Electronic.
Yeah, but you don't get. I don't know. I mean, tell me how you guys feel. I think that there's a vibe missing from that for the listener.
Yeah, people can feel it. They can feel whether it's a live orchestra or whether it's a live band. They feel the energy of the people working together. They feel it.
Tell me about those horns.
Well, we were in a studio. They were in. Five horn players were right there in the studio, and Aaron was singing. We were all playing it together.
Our hair was blowing back. It's really fun to sing with a bunch of horns.
And Bob Ojeda arranged all that stuff.
Yeah, Bobby Ojeda he was with Count Basie's band for like 16, 17 years, and he did a bunch of arrangements for him. So I was lucky to work with him.
Yeah. Did he have great Count Basie stories?
Yes, he did. And he has a couple of Julie London stories, too. He worked with her.
Oh, that's got to be helpful now that you're doing this Julie London show.
Yeah.
But you guys are appearing all the time, all over Chicago. We'll give you all a website in a second that folks can go to. You play just down the street from here at Michigan Avenue all the time.
Right across the street at Kinsey and State is a supper club called the Tortoise Club. And since it opened 4 years ago, I've been leading a jazz trio there.
I've not been there.
There's a grand piano.
It's phenomenal food. And
it's almost 100 years old, the piano, and I have a bass player and a drummer there, although not the same guys. I play there every Saturday from 8:30 to midnight.
How much is the cover for that?
There's no cover charge.
It's
what?
A wonderful restaurant.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And there's a lounge where people can just sit and listen to the music.
And it's very old feeling, even though it's a new restaurant. They got the walls from the pump room.
Really?
Down in there, yeah. And they have, it feels like an old, like, school lounge. It just feels like from the 50s, you know, it just feels that way. You'd love
it. Yeah, I would, actually. And you play elsewhere in town and all over town as well.
Well, I play in a gospel church on the south side.
A what?
Sunday morning. Yeah.
So I began all this. Perfect way to end it because I began by saying, you guys can do anything. Yeah. And I talked about how we call that musician country, or we call that musician rock and roll, when they're both doing maybe the roots of what they do is blues, you know? And we just heard you do blues.
Yeah.
But gospel?
Gospel. And it's, of course, a black church, and I'm Brother Mark there. And when I started the gig, I assumed to myself, well, I can play this stuff because I can play jazz and I can play blues, and gospel's kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to learn things that aren't written down, that were passed down from generation to generation. So it took quite a while for me to learn these songs, and I just love it. It's my favorite regular gig, and I just wouldn't miss it for the world.
It's a beautiful place.
Now, are they...
it's Gorham United Methodist and it's on the corner of 56th in Indiana.
You're invited. We have a drummer. Come anytime.
Anyone's. Now, there's a place that I assume they cannot have a cover.
No. 10:45.
They might ask for your donation.
Yes, I'm sure they will. And that's what time? 10:45
every 10:45 on Sunday mornings, yeah.
And occasionally Ann will drop in, and if she does, they usually ask her to sing.
Can you sing gospel?
Yeah, I sing a few gospel tunes. They're based in the blues, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like Wade in the Water.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I kind of am that secular unit.
But that's really, I mean, I think that's the perfect way to sort of put cap on this. I mean, music is music, right?
Good music is good music. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you think that, so growing up as a kid, my parents didn't do this, but they might have said, those crazy Beatles that you're listening to. What's this? What is this? They're going to ruin the world. And actually, people felt that way about Elvis Presley.
Yeah, they did.
And the Beatles. They said, oh, this is going to be the ruin of the world. And now, you know, people may say that about rap music, or, you know, there's always the next. I mean, they thought that about Sinatra.
They thought that about, they did.
You know, they said, this guy and his hips are moving, and he sings about love in a different way, and, you know, whatever happened to Doo Wah Diddy or whatever they said back then. I don't know.
Music
but
changes.
Sinatra was controversial.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does
more.
The
styles change.
But
they flow together.
Well, that's the thing. At the end of the day, do they flow together?
Well, we play it in a style that we like it, and we hope our fans like it.
I think they do. You're as busy as can be. Mark Burnell and Pringle Burnell, thank you. The website
is Burnell Music, B-U-R-N-E-L-L, music.com.
BurnellMusic.com. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks, thank
you,
Steve.
And do that, do a again. Excellent.
Now you can check it with a tuning fork.
I'm sure everyone will be. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.